I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
This Gamertag episode is brought to you by Gamefly. If you've ever wanted to try a game before you bought it, you should try Gamefly. It's the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games and movies. They're the leading video game rental service with over 9,000 titles to choose from. Just pick your favorite games and have them mailed straight to your door. Then keep them for as long as you want and never worry about late fees. Plus, you can cancel at any time. Visit Gamefly.com/gamertag to start your free 30-day trial today. That's Gamefly.com/gamertag.
Gamertag Radio presents E3 2016 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Here we go.
All right, everybody, this is Paris. We're at the final day of E3, and I am here looking at Ghost Recon Wildlands, and who better to get to talk about the game than the creative director? So can you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Eric Cousillon. I am creative director on Ghost Recon Wildlands.
All right. Thank you for taking a few minutes to talk to us about this game. I got a chance to play it a few days ago. I absolutely love it. I think the vision that you have for this open world of a Ghost Recon is fantastic, but let's talk about the vision for Ghost Recon. Why go with open world for four-player co-op for Ghost Recon this time around?
So Ghost Recon Wildlands is the very first military shooter set in a massive and responsive open world. So the game, you can entirely play the game either in solo with three AI teammates or up to four players. So you can swap from one mode to another. The progression is always saved. And the game takes place in Bolivia, where the drug cartels have spread into Bolivia and turned the whole state into a narco state. And they work in collision with the corrupt government. The whole game is about freedom of choice. So you can customize your own ghost. You can have all the progression systems to upgrade your ghost and the weapons. You can solve every situation the way you want, depending on your own play styles. You have 60 vehicles in the game to travel in this huge and humongous world. And you even the structure of the game is non-linear, which is, allows you to take down each mini-boss in the game as you want. I mean, as the structure is non-linear.
Now, let's talk about Bolivia, this open world that you've created, because when I got to play a game, kind of the wow moment for me was we all got in the helicopter and then we went up, and then you look down and you're like, oh my God, this is huge. So how big is this environment we're going to be in? Because I believe that when I played it, they said there's like 11 different environments within this world. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, yes. Because we are talking about the size, but the variety of the world is maybe the most important thing, because we wanted to renew the interest of the players, to have new challenges. And, you know, when you want to have tactical approach, the battleground is the most important element. So that's the reason why we wanted to have very diverse environment. So we have the salt lake, we have the desert, the swamps, the mountains, the jungle, the forest, and all these environments are very, very different in terms of experience, because you can imagine that the line of sight and how the NPCs or the chopper can detect you is very, very different from if you're in the salt desert or in the jungle. And also, depending on your own playstyle, if you want to play stealth, long range, or if you like to fly helicopters, even here you are going to be challenged because of the environment itself.
Let's talk about those NPC characters. So they're independent of what you're doing. You're just coming into their world. So kind of talk about how that's going to work in this environment of Oblivion.
So it's a real breakthrough. Is that we wanted the world to be autonomous and to be alive. So it means that every NPC you see in the game, either civilians or the enemies, they live with their own agenda. So there is a day and night cycle or a dynamic weather system, which is different depending on the region, but they have their own job, and they live autonomously, and their reaction is never predefined. For instance, what you saw at the E3 conference, when the guy at Puerto Rico who melts the bodies escapes, it's not scripted at all. It's just because it detects the players, and as this guy is a coward, then he decides to escape. And in his AI, he decides that when he escapes, the best way to escape is to grab a vehicle. And so he takes the nearest vehicle. In this case, it was a four-wheeled vehicle. And then the whole situation, which was the players tried to be safe, they failed. And the whole situation turns into a chasing sequence, which was not scripted at all. And this guy can run away in the whole world, and even the sequence can last for a long time. But if the players would have succeeded their stealth approach, they would have grabbed the guy, he would have never escaped, they could have interrogated him even here in the camp. And you can even imagine that, knowing that this guy is a coward, you can plant C4 or mines at the entrance of the camp in case you fail you fail your stealth approach. Well, you can imagine thousands and thousands of combinations, because you will always be surprised by how the AI reacts.
And just when I got to play in the demo we did, we were trying to grab extraction and he got away, and then it was the whole chasing. It was exactly what you're describing now, which was fantastic. So let's talk about your characters. So are you talking about customization right now of your characters? How in depth is that going to be?
So you when you start the game, you create your own ghost. You can customize his gender, his face, his clothes, his gear, and it's one part of the which is very important. And on the other side, we have all the progression, which is at the core of the experience. You can customize your guns. I don't know if you remember the gunsmith from Future Soldier. Mm-hmm. We have it in the game. Okay. So you can collect your weapons and attachments, and you will customize the weapons. And it's a way for you as the player to go deeper into your playstyles, because if you are a stealth player or long-range player, then you will adapt your weapons to fit with the way you like to play. And we have also a progression system, which allows you to get more C4, more tools for, if you like, diversion tools, to get a parachute if you want to the base jump, to have all this progression system. And on the other side, we have the story, because we have more than 100 story missions plus side missions. And you have also objectives that are not predefined by us, because for instance, if you like to fly helicopters and you want to make to complete one story mission, you can tell to yourself, okay, I want to grab an helicopter, but there is no, I don't have any. And so it's up to you to observe the world, find out that there is a chopper, I don't know, in the camp at the top of the hill, to attack the camp, to steal the helicopter so that you have the helicopter to make another mission. So as you see here, the objective is not, I would say, official. It's right, really right. You set your own objectives.
Okay, so let's go into the actual the co-op. You talked about the drop-in drop-out co-op. So I want to give this scenario. So let's say the four of us go on a mission, we do our thing, I then go and do another match with someone else who's already done that mission. Am I just simply repeating the same mission that I've done? How does the progression actually work as far as with the drop-in co-op? Is it, are you individual on your progression, or does it matter that you are in the match with the four people? If that makes sense. Maybe I'm not making sense.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, the very big thing here is that since this game is the first time that you have at the same time this military shooter in the big map and the co-op, there's behind it a lot of design decisions to solve those sort of issues. And clearly, there's two concepts that we call the join in progress and the mission merge. And so basically what's happening is, what happens when both of you, when one of you has played something and the other hasn't played it. Mm-hmm. So clearly the only solution in terms of design is that the game offers you different missions and you have the idea of trying to do missions that both of you have not done before.
Okay.
But if you decide to make one that one of you has done, yes, you'll pay it again. However, you'll get reward for it. And also, because it's very important that the freedom of the situations, usually the things don't happen the same way. So what we believe is that the concept of repetition doesn't apply that much, because the situations will be new and the rewards will be different. But that's kind of the cool thing of this, and that's the big thing we try to solve in terms of design, is how to make doing some of the missions again, how can we make it as fun as possible, and that's the only way we can have this game that is giving you the possibility of moving, for instance, playing 10 hours solo, and then you do 2 hours co-op, and then back again in solo. So we believe that what we lose by having sometimes the same missions being done is not that important compared to what we gain by the freedom of choice that the unique progression gives you.
Yeah, just to add one point, it was very, very important at the beginning of the conception of the game that wanted to have this game entirely playable in single player and in co-op, and that you never waste time. You know, we didn't want to have specific missions for the co-op. We wanted the whole campaign to be playable in this both mode, and to offer the players the possibility to swap from one mode to another. If you want to, yesterday you want to play alone, and tomorrow with friends, you never waste time. I mean that all the progression is saved. I mean that your personal progression, I was talking about the gunsmith, or even your personal skills as the ghost, or even the stories, everything is saved, so you never lose time.
Okay, Pete, any questions?
Yeah, I do. Actually, Ghost Recon is traditionally known as a, you know, it's always got a great single-player campaign, but then a lot of people tend to gravitate to the multiplayer aspect. Can we get into a little more detail on what you guys are offering from multiplayer?
What there's an important thing to have in mind is that the team working on Wildlands has years of experience about Ghost Recon. I was a producer and working on it for like 10 years. Eric has been working on that for 15 years. So we have a very good understanding of the community. And yes, there's a big request from the whole community to have an overview of what's happening in multiplayer. And there's two things here. When it comes to PvP and adversarial, we will be talking about it in the future.
Okay.
What we wanted to do today, and this is why it's important, and we're insisting on this join in progress approach, that because you can play all the time solo or co-op, it means that it's quite easy to find other players to join your campaign and then leave it. And we have the feeling that what's going to happen is that the people are going to play the co-op with as much flexibility as if playing adversarial. So yes, the challenges will be less against one against each other than playing against the AI. However, the way of playing it like on a relaxed way, like, okay, what do you want to do this Saturday? Ah, yeah, let's do a little bit of this campaign together and for 2 hours, and then let's do something else. This flexibility that usually the co-op games don't give you, because you're basically forced to play together with the same people at the same moment to be able to play the whole campaign. Right now, we took away all these barriers, and we believe that the players will see that, and they'll have another way of playing in multiplayer just inside the co-op.
Okay. All right. Well, Paris, do you have anything else?
Just go ahead and wrap it up.
Okay. Well, thanks again for taking time out. You know, if people want more information, where can they go?
GhostRecon.com.
Okay. I know community is huge with you guys. Is there going to be more details following up on community involvement? If you can detail
yes.
any of that?
Yes. You know, for we've been working with members of the community since the beginning of the project. We have some guys that we call the Breakfast Club, who actually came to the office even last year, 1 week before we even announced the game. They were able to see the content, and we had discussions with them, and so they were really involved, and they were involved before and also after the announcement, and we're in touch with them. What is very important for us is that the people express themselves as much as possible on the forums, and the good thing, and I'm very happy that we have this community, that it's a very positive community. They tend to come up with ideas, with ways of doing the things. They help us also tune some topics. Right now the hot topic is, how are we going to tune the difficulty?
Yes.
And are we going to have like a hardcore mode or what, or how can we make sure that those guys have it? And the fact that we work, for instance, on games like Grow, where we were able to interact with them, makes us lots of knowledge. And guys keep sending us the info. It's always good. And we're listening to it as much as possible.
Yeah, I'm glad to know that, because I was part of that community with Grow and Grow 2. Yeah. And I know that you guys always pay attention and listen, and you're always part of the community and taking feedback. So it was really, really important. I wanted to make sure I touched on that. So
yeah, well, I was the producer of Grow 2 on PC. That was where we really wanted to work a lot on the community. It was a very separate version from the console version, which was one of the requests from the community. To have, at the time, we had some technical limitations, so we couldn't have the same experience. So we did a very specific version just for the PC. And we remember for those days, we're working with lots of guys from the community, so we keep doing that.
I'm glad. Once again, thank you guys for taking time out of your busy schedules. And that's it. We'll wrap it up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.